All right, hour two, if it is Wednesday, heading into the holiday season, but we'll get a little work done at the county. Joining us is our great friend Marty Hawk, as she always does on Wednesday. Shouldn't you be having fun with your family? How are you today? Great to hear from you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I just got in from all of my errands, and so whatever happened in the county today, I missed it, so I probably got the not a very good update for you today, but I did want to say Merry Christmas. My daughter is going to be in town, coming in yet today, and of course that means, you know, grocery shopping and getting the house ready and all the things that everybody wants to do so that you can just stop and relax when the family gets here. And so it's been a really great day. I'm not sure Babette liked having to wait on me being gone so long, but that worked out.
Well, Babette's going to have some company too, so she'll be fired up, ready to go.
Right. But you might have seen, I haven't seen it yet on the news, but surely it will be, that there was this huge truck fire today.
No, I missed that.
It was a big semi, and it was right at the intersection. Of course, I just came upon it just as it happened. The truck, I thought, well, what is all that? And the smoke was coming up and flames up out of the truck cab and under the truck cab. And I thought, well, there was no ambulance, there was no fire department, nothing. So it couldn't have been going on for very long. But, of course, traffic was just kept moving. And I thought, well, I could either sit here and wait for it to blow up and, you know, cause another wreck or get out of the way, which is what I did. But the black smoke, I went on down the way, couldn't find my cell phone. I was digging for it. I thought, that's a good way to have a wreck. So I kept going. And, of course, there was a lot of other traffic there, too. And I looked in the rear view, and the black smoke was just coming up just thick. And then I saw on Facebook, a friend of mine was caught in traffic, was a long, long time, because you don't know what the traffic's about. But it was absolutely horrible.
Where was this located, Marty?
Okay, as you're coming, head toward Ellettsville, right at the intersection where Arlington Road is.
Okay.
Right before you get into, you know, where Arby's and...
Sure.
See what I'm saying? Yeah, it's right there. It's right at the turnoff at where the stoplight is, right where you would turn off to go to Arlington Road.
Gotcha. Well, we hope the law enforcement was there. Your timing is too good.
I mean, and then, of course, I was going to the doctor's office to have my blood pressure checked, because that's what we all have to do at least once a year at the clinic. And, of course, it probably was not a good day to check my blood pressure.
Well, there's mitigating factors to all of that.
That was very frightening experience, and I just hope that truck driver made it out of there before that blew up.
I hope you're right. That would be that's not a great way, but we thank our law enforcement for working during these times. We had in my neighborhood, Santa Claus came by on Saturday night. Boy, we were like, well, isn't it supposed to rain Saturday night? Well, it rained Christmas cheer, and then it did start raining right after they left. So, Santa brought presents and the rain. That's it.
And they do that every year. Just they do a great job.
Yeah, it's great.
And they come through, and they try to put on Facebook just which neighborhood they're doing, approximate times, and so forth. So people will
They even stick a yard sign in your neighborhood entrance, too, to let you know that they're coming to town. And so that's they help you out all those great ways. So that,
right. But there was also something I did want to share with you, and that is for people who are living in apartments or people who own apartments, is that the new way of assessing that they are now required to do to assess these apartment buildings, they have to use all three approaches, which means the sales approach, the income approach, the market, the sales, and so what they do is now they're going to have to, rather than just looking at the market, I know the other approach was the cost approach, and I believe that in the past they've always just looked at what are they selling for or whatever, but, and that you'd have to find out from the assessor's office. But this is required now to be done every year and to have facts behind what your assumptions are for the value. Well, if the value, and the it has to be that they have to use the lesser of all three approaches. So whether it would cost less to build it or would it be less money to buy one, or what would it be, what is the revenue coming in for each apartment building? And that's apartments that have more than four units. So that can make a big difference in people's ownership of apartments. So that's just one of the very many, many things that the assessor's office is having to deal with that from new state legislation.
And that starts January of next year, Marty?
Well, they're working on it right now. They're working on it right now. They're sending out information, trying to get information back from the apartment owners and to let them know what's going on. But this is huge. This is like... you know how many apartment buildings has to be in this county.
A lot.
And required to do a separate one for each one of those over four units.
All right. Well, that's how often did they used to do it?
Well, they could do it. I mean, once again, that would be an assessor question, but even if they would do it every year, if they were using the market approach, if that's what they were doing, then they could look to see what the market, you know, what was selling for similar units and come up with the price. But certainly they didn't have to do all approaches because that will take a great deal more time.
Well, that's what Okay. That's where I was confused a little bit there.
Right. And in order to get the income approach, they would have to have exact numbers from each apartment owner. What if they didn't give you those numbers? Then they're going to have to make some assumptions, and then who knows what's going to go from there. There's rules about how it all has to come together. But for people who think that the assessor's office just goes around causing people trouble on purpose, they don't want to do this either, but they have to.
When you start assuming things, Marty, everything just goes swimmingly, doesn't it?
Right, right. So, this is a busy time for county government, the people who have to meet certain deadlines and trying to get the books closed out for the end of the year and trying to get the additional appropriations and everything entered in before the end of the year. And I wondered about if there was any appointments made this morning at the commissioner's meeting, but I had to get to the other appointments and could not find out. But I'm real interested to hear what's going on with the CIB appointments because, as we know, some of those expire at the end of this year. So what will those appointments be for next year? So that will be an interesting thing to see. This whole thing as well having to do with the Commission of Visitors Commission, and I'm not sure everybody has studied this, but
I'm positive not everybody has studied it. They're waiting for you to come on my airwaves and tell us what we should know.
And it's hard for me to say, well, go ahead and look it up because it's not recorded anymore, so I just have to keep trying to tell people to try to get online here at by 4 o'clock. But there's five members of the Convention and Visitors Commission, three appointed by the county council, two appointed by the county commissioners, and the county commissioners has to be, of course, one owner or a manager of a certain number of bed hotel or motel, and also the IMU representative. And then with the county council, it has to be two members that would have to represent the innkeepers, the people who have units here. And then that third one is one that is by the legislation says the county council appoints. Now, here's why it is very important. The rules are different for that because it takes a majority to have a quorum. So a majority of five is three. So they could have a meeting with three. And then, here's the rub, they can make major decisions with the majority of those attending. So if you've got three there, it takes only two people to make these decisions. The decisions are huge that they're allowed to make. And that's why I feel like it's so important that the county have a representative there, simply because the innkeepers, all of that is county responsibility. So, and if two people could get in there and make decisions, gigantic decisions, and we don't understand how important that appointment is. But as far as I'm concerned, if everybody knows and they decide to do it this way, then fine. But I just want to make sure everybody knows.
Well, that is the other part of that, isn't it?
Right, it sure is.
If everybody's fine with it and it's on the up and up and we're in the legal beagles and everything's good, well, there you go. But that's the sausage being made, kids, if you don't want to pay attention to it.
Right. Now, in the meantime, you know, we put together that additional tax to cover some expenses at the jail, and we moved income tax from one fund over to another fund and established a new fund. Well, we never voted on, you know, what we were going to do with the new fund. We just said we were going to do it, but we haven't done it. Of course, the money's not coming in yet, but we did get an update on exactly what the dollar amount would be. I think it was $424,260. But remember, we'll only get a 12th of that if they do it like they've always done in the past. In other words, they tell you that's how much you're going to get for the year, but you don't get that in one lump sum. So we need to have a major discussion about letting that sit there and build up some cash operating balance and take out these expenses, one-time kind of expenses, out of the jail expenses, and take that out of the public safety tax and allow that separate tax to grow a little bit, because unless 1/12 will be enough to do what they need to do every month.
Well, that's interesting, right, because, yes, you can't spend all 424 of it in January when you don't get the rest of it until December, right? Am I reading
that right? That's right. And that's the difference is if it was property tax, you would get it in June and you would get it in, like, in November and
right.
Get settled by the end of it. But this isn't property tax. This is income tax. And so they make an estimate of what that income tax is going to be, and it is just what we thought it would be. And they've already verified and certified that's what it will be. But that doesn't come in twice a year. It comes in monthly.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It's just like, you know, unless there's been some kind of change at the state, which
well,
I do not
there's
think
not,
there has
because
been.
Because you would know if that was the case.
One would think, but yeah, so those are things that we need to be talking about and very soon, because of course the sheriff and his chief deputy has been told, look, we're arranging to get this extra money. Well, we are, but you can't spend it all at once. If you've got a contract or something that's for that kind of money, we'd have to figure
well,
out
it's kind of like the shell game, right, Marty? It's you're just going to have to move some things around to make that work, or what's the legality behind that? How does that work?
Right. We could go into either county general, or we could go into public safety lit funds and do some additional appropriations in there and allow this money to grow as this income money is coming in that pot of money. So that there's a balance. That's what we had to do before when we grew the money for public safety to begin with, because you don't have it all at once.
Right.
But the good part about moving it from one fund to another fund is it clearly is allowing those additional dollars to be used for something that the public really needs it to be used
That's
for.
Right. Absolutely. And getting that on track and getting that up to speed is tremendously, tremendously important. Are you done with meetings at the county council for the rest of the year, or are you going to come back next week after Christmas?
Well, it looks like as if they are through with the meetings. That was really...
I know they contact you and ask you for your schedule. I know that's
right. Yes, they sure do. They want, for sure want to know what I'm doing, what it is I'd like to do. But, you know, it is... If it's things that can be put off until the first of the year, if it doesn't have to happen now, then that means that that staff and all the other department heads who would have to come to the meeting or their employees are not having to work that kind of overtime right here at Christmas time. So it makes sense. It's not, it wasn't my decision, that it makes sense how to make this work. It really does. So in the meantime, of course, we're all waiting around pins and needles who's going to be the next treasurer, and I understand that decision's not mine to make, so it's mine to be curious about.
Is there a timeline on that we should be following? Is there a caucus? How do we get together and do all that?
Okay. Well, the we is the Democrat Party.
Sure.
And it will be all of the precinct committee people. The chairmen are allowed to have this caucus, and they will, and I'm sure it will be done publicly. That's exactly, of course, what they would do. And the decision will be made. Now, we already know that the treasurer, that Monroe County treasurer will, as of January 1, be at the city. So they'll have so many days within which, after that transition has been made, to get this caucus done. Now, at one point, I was told someone thought they had 15 days. I don't know that I think the question was, do they have 15 days or do they have to allow it to be 15 days in order for everybody to get notice in case somebody wants to run for that treasurer spot?
So
I'm sure that the Democrat chairman is all over this. I understand he's running for county council, and so...
Well, he's done as a Democratic chairman. Isn't that going to be... Who's going to take that place? What did I see John Fernandez getting into? Did you see that?
Well, John Fernandez is going to be on the election board.
Election board. There you go. That's why we talk to Marty Hawk every week, folks. I get confused.
Yeah,
she
right,
doesn't.
Really.
So yeah, David Henry is... David Henry, do I have that name right?
David Henry, I think so. I think that's right. Yes, because I always thought, well, that's two first names. But I've been told that he's already declared he's going to run for county council at large.
Yes.
That
was in a press release that I saw. So that is right. That is official, I believe.
Right. So I don't know who will there have to be a new party chairman while he's running. It depends on what their party rules are. I don't know. But whoever the party chairman is or will be at that time, they'll make that decision as to when and where this is going to happen and move forward on it. So it'll be interesting to see who else might be interested in serving as a treasurer spot. And, of course, that would be an immediate in finishing out the 2024 year that the treasurer was elected for. And then whoever is serving there, if they want to serve again, they would have to start running for office because that term is over at the end of 2024. But if it should be the auditor, our present auditor, who would say, I want to finish out the treasurer's term, then that means that the Democrats then will have to have another caucus to fill that slot for auditor.
And dominoes keep falling.
Right. And as a reminder to folks who say, oh, well, I want you to get on my page and support me for this or that, look, I'm an elected official on the other side and a precinct committee person, so I'm not allowed to put somebody else's sign in another party in my yard. I'm not allowed to support them for office, not publicly. You see what I'm saying?
A quick look at the B-Square Bulletin. I was reading David Atkins. He does a great job keeping up on this. Henry was asked about something in that phase, and I'll just read this to you. Henry ticked through some party chairs who have in the last 30 years served in that role, even while running for and serving in elected office. Pat Williams, who served as Bloomington City Clerk while serving as party chair. Dan Combs, who served as Perry Township Trustee while serving as party chair. Rick Dietz, who served on the county council and a district seat while party chair. So that's what I just Googled quickly.
What about Jennifer Crossley?
I didn't get to all. That's not in this article, but I just those are the ones I saw. Just
I think she was a party chair. It really looks like if you want to serve in office and be caucused in, go be the party chair. It seems that help people to get there.
I can't argue with you. Well, we try to point out to people how the system works, and then. Then we see the election numbers and how it comes back, and I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, either everybody's all real happy or they're not. And
good point.
I intend to enjoy this Christmas and not worry about it because there's only so much you can do.
You can shed light on it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I have come after doing this. I called it. This isn't work. This isn't a job. For doing this for the last 15 years or so, people only care when you put them in a headlock, punch them in the nose, take out their wallet from their pocket, open it up, take the money out while you have them in a headlock, and then they get involved. That's the only time people care.
Well, here's when they're going to care on another issue. You know, we're moving vastly forward as to what you can do with your property.
Yes,
whether
I saw
or not
that.
There's going to be an apartment go in next door to you and you thought it was going to be a single family or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that there's a lot going on and people are so busy doing other things, it will happen. And they'll say, well, why didn't you tell us?
Is that whose meeting is that we need to follow? I know it won't be in the next coming days. It'll be in 2024. But keep that on your list for us, please, please, please.
Okay, remember, it's the county planning who puts the plan, works on the plan, works on making adjustments to the plan and so forth. And then they have to put ordinances with it. And then that has to go... the plan has to be approved by commissioners. They have to go back with the ordinance. All of that has to be approved by the commissioners. They can either approve everything that the plan commission sent to them, or they can say, no, we don't like it, and make changes and send it back to plan commission. Plan commission can try to make changes, send it back to the
hot potato,
at some
hot
point
potato.
In time, yeah, at some point in time, somebody lets go of that porcupine. The bottom line, people need to recognize the plan commission is not an elected position. They are appointed positions. The final decision is the county commissioners, and it is their absolute two members out of three member county commissioners will make the decision. At least it will take two. They might all agree to do the same thing. So there will be a lot of give and take on that, but it is time to be paying attention.
It's always good, even in the holidays, we have to keep an eye on this stuff. Go have fun with your family. Pet your puppy dog. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas. A Happy New Year. And you will be back 2 weeks from today on the 3rd, and we will keep an eye on, well, the 362 days remaining in 2024.
We've got that going, and Babette wants me to hang up, so it's a good time to say goodbye, and you have a good Christmas.